morning. It's good to be with you. Good to have those that are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. I told Hunter the wrong passage this morning. It's the right passage for the sermon for this evening. We're going to continue our study in 1 Corinthians 11 tonight. But this morning, I want to continue what we've been doing the past few months now and then, doing some studies in Proverbs. And since today is Father's Day, I wanted to spend some time today talking about what Solomon has to say to men and husbands. We did that, I think the first lesson that we did in that series was actually on Mother's Day, so it seems appropriate to do that today too. Solomon spends a significant amount of time in the book of Proverbs discussing what we can do to have the good life by being wise in our relationships. And the Proverbs have a lot to say about being good parents and about being godly children, as we've looked at, and about being worthy women. And today we want to look at how a man can be wise in the sight of God. To a certain degree, the whole book of Proverbs really is instructing men how to be wise. Because the point of this book is Solomon training his son. That's the idea of this book. He spoke about the worthy woman, the excellent wife, but he's talking to his son. He's telling his son to look for that inner beauty in that woman. So that's instruction about the woman, but he's telling his son that you need to look for that in a woman. So really, everything here is talking about the son being the type of man that he should be. Solomon tells the son to avoid the contentious, quarrelsome woman because that's a wise thing to do. And he tells him to look for that godly woman. Other things that you can see throughout the book of Proverbs is really good advice about controlling anger and not being a fool, not being lazy, not falling into the snares of wealth. And those are all important instructions that men need to follow. But we want to look this morning specifically about some Proverbs that deal with what a good man looks like and how Solomon describes that man so we can become that person. So in the beginning of the lesson, we just want to look at some general admonitions. That, first of all, in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 8, he says, "A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised." So Solomon wants his son to realize that he's going to be measured. Other people are going to be measuring him. And one way that's done is by his wisdom or the lack thereof. Many times we think about our reputation. Well, how is our reputation measured? Well, people look at our choices. People look at the things that we choose to do. People look at the choices that we make within our families. And so making good decisions early in life is very important. And those that are older and wiser through maybe mistakes that they've made themselves and trying to have others avoid those same types of mistakes, Solomon wants his son to do that. Solomon wants him to make good choices. And every good father would want that for their son, to make good choices early in life, because you are going to build a reputation for yourself. And one of the things that I like about Facebook is when there's a holiday like there is today, you see a lot of people paying honor to those that have had a good reputation. It may have been their father or may have been their grandfather. And my mom posted some pictures yesterday of her father, and it brought back a lot of memories for me of things that he did and kindnesses that he showed to us and the wisdom that he passed on to his family and to us as well. That's a good thing. It's a good reputation. It's a great legacy that those that have lived before us leave for us. And the only way that happens is if you make good decisions. Because you're going to leave a legacy one way or the other. It's going to be a legacy for good, or it's going to be a legacy for bad. And it may be that some people's purpose in life is to serve as a warning for others. But that's not the way that we want to be perceived. We want to be perceived as something that would be good to us all and have a good reputation. Solomon also says in chapter 27 and verse 8, another general admonition here is that like a bird that wanders from her nest is a man who wanders from his home. You see a lot of word pictures here in the book
of Proverbs. And the picture here is of a bird that's not content at home where things are safe and stable, but ventures out into danger.
So what's the application here? I think there's a lot of applications that could be made regarding the responsibility that a man has to his home. A man that wanders away from his home, well, what does that mean? First of all, I think there's a sexual meaning in that a good man and a wise husband is not going to seek pleasure outside of the home with those that are not his wife. And there are numerous proverbs that we've noted before that instruct the man not to do that, not to wander off into the arms of another. Second, the proverb could have application to divorce and abandonment, where a man should not be forsaking his responsibility to provide and protect the inhabitants of the home. And we see a real problem with that in our society today, where people do not, and men specifically, do not take that responsibility seriously. Sometimes people even make jokes about Father's Day because so many people don't have a relationship with their father. They don't even know who their father is. And that's not the way that it should be. When some people think that when things get tough, that's when they get going. And they are going to leave whatever the problem is. And there's always going to be conflicts from time to time in the home, most of the time. Spouses sometimes do not see eye to eye. And there will be strains on relationships with spouses or with children. But it never gives the father the right to walk out the door and drop their responsibility. And so we see this in this proverb. Like the bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man that wanders from his home. The man has a responsibility to his home, and he needs to take that seriously. Jokes are made about people having midlife crisis and buying that red Corvette and those kind of things and people get dissatisfied with their life and looking at the grass being greener on the other side. That's not the way that a Christian man should be feeling. They should not be wandering and looking to the other side of the fence. The godly man is content with his life at home and does not wander off to sow wild oats or find freedom or live it up or anything like that. You've made a commitment to the home, is what Solomon is saying. In Proverbs chapter 11, in verse 29. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 29, the wise writer says, "He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart." And we noted in previous lessons that Solomon taught his son that the woman sets the tone and atmosphere of the house, and the prudent woman makes the home a place where people will want to be. And conversely, it talks about the contentious woman and a home where nobody wants to be, and it turns into a place of suffering. But the man also has a responsibility in that, as we see here. We talked in previous lessons that the quarrelsome woman can be a problem, but here's a problem with the man. The man who troubles his own house is setting up an atmosphere of things that are ungodly and bad. So the woman has a responsibility to create an uplifting, happy environment. The foolish man can destroy it. Instead of showing love and care, a man can have a negative influence. Some people are afraid of their husband. Some people are afraid of their father. Why? Because they've behaved in such a way to make people fear them. And this says that the troubler of the house is going to end up with nothing, or the wind. Inheriting the wind has a symbolic meaning of a couple of things, of reaping trouble and reaping suffering, or reaping something that's just empty. So the troubler is going to bring trouble back upon his own head, is what the meaning is here. So men need to think about this. Are we troubling the house? Is our attitude harsh toward our wives or toward our children? Do we behave roughly with them, or do we show love and care? This is a serious question. Because sometimes we may take out work frustrations on the family.
to come home and we're in a bad mood already because of things that may have happened earlier in the day, and the things that normally would not make us angry all of a sudden make us angry because we have a short fuse or we're feeling bad anyway. And in doing that, do we show that we don't care for our spouse or care for our children? Solomon said these kind of actions are not going to help the family. They're not going to help the house. It is going to leave you with nothing but trouble. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And this proverb is really in contrast to the one we just looked at. You know, there's the man that troubles his household, and here's the opposite. And I know I talk about my father a lot, but he's the only one I ever had, and I'll keep talking about him. One of the reasons I talk about him is because he embodied this. He's a righteous man that tried to raise us in a righteous and godly way. It wasn't perfect. But I know that he wanted to raise us in the way God would have him to do. And one of the things that's nice about having a godly father is other people recognize that you had a godly father too. And he had a good reputation. And I don't have to be ashamed of my last name because he brought honor to that name by the way that he lived. I saw Russ Bowman, D. Bowman's son, today post something about what a great thing it has been to be raised as D. Bowman's son. And D. Bowman is a preacher and well known, and a lot of people respect what he has done in his work. And I thought, well, that sounds a lot like something that I would have said. And there are many people that can look up to their fathers and have a great deal of respect for them because of the way, not that they look at their father as being somebody that's supremely perfect, but someone that tried to live godly and did the best that they can to do things in a way that would be pleasing to God. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And what a great thing it is to be the kind of father that your children would do that. And so those of us that are fathers need to think about that. What kind of legacy are we leaving behind to our children? Will our children look at us and hang their head with shame? Or are they going to look at us and say, well, I'm so glad that I finally could get out of the house away from that person? Or will they look at us and say, my father is somebody that Solomon described as being blessed, and that I am blessed to have a father like that? The righteous man is one that's going to act properly. He's going to make good decisions. He's going to live righteously. And by doing so, the blessings of those decisions are going to trickle down to the children, the grandchildren. And you know, those of us that are parents, we want badly for our children to have a better life than ourselves. I think that's pretty universal that most parents would want that for their children. The way to do that is not by buying gifts or accumulating wealth. It's by them making good, godly decisions on a regular basis. But in the interest of others in the house above ourselves, those are the kind of things that you want to see your children do, and we should be doing that ourselves as an example. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Again, Solomon is making the case or making the call to his son to fear the Lord. And fearing the Lord is going to result in making righteous decisions, keeping your heart attuned to the Word of God. And he's saying you can live the good life by submitting your life to God. But you can get yourself into a lot of trouble personally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, what have you, by not letting God guide your path, especially early in your life, to make that habit. He who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Let's look at some specific characteristics of the good man or the good husband. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure and receives favor from the Lord. He might be saying, well, what does that have to do with the man? That's talking about the woman. Let's talk about something that the man finds, but it also tells us the way that the man should feel about the woman, how he should treat the woman. And a lot of times we miss that. But a man is supposed to recognize the value of his wife, or the value of the woman. And so the question for us as husbands, do we treat our wives as a treasure? That's what Solomon says. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure. Do we treat our wives like that? Do we place a high value on them? What do we usually do with something that's very high in value? I guess you could say you go out and bury it, but that's not really the point here. What do you do with something of high value? Do you take care of it? It may be that brand new car, that brand new boat that you're out there waxing all the time because you love that. You love that car. You named it Brad. And we protect it. And many times there may be things that you tell your children, everything in the house you can touch, but you can't touch my computer, or you can't touch this or that. There's things of high value that you say, this is mine, this is hands off, because it's valuable, it's fragile, and you value it. That is exactly what's being said here, that the woman is of high value. And it's exactly what Peter taught in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Peter said, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So I want to notice with you some things that Peter said here and some things that Peter did not say. Peter did not say, husbands, tell your wives what to do. Treat them badly. You're in charge. That's not what he said. But too many times, husbands act as if they are in total control of every step that the woman makes. But go back to what Solomon said. Solomon said she is a treasure. And Peter said that we are to be understanding. Live with your wife in an understanding way. Peter said to show her honor. He didn't say to treat her as a slave. And it's also interesting when you look at what the Scriptures have to say about the elders of the local church. You know, the elders have a responsibility in the church. But Peter also goes to great lengths to teach the elders that does not mean that you are doing that in a way to be condescending in your oversight. You're exercising oversight and you want to compel people to follow. But 1 Peter chapter 5 tells them not to be domineering. And so we understand that when it comes to the way elders interact with the congregation. We also noted last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3 that Scripture says the husband is the head of the wife. But it goes to great lengths to tell us that we are to love our wives like Christ loved the church. And that really tells me a lot when I know that I need to love my wife as Christ loved the church. So Solomon is saying she's a treasure. Peter says you must live with her in an understanding way. Peter says that she is to be honored. But sometimes husbands act like they are the kings that need to be honored. But that's not what Solomon is saying. He's saying that the husband needs to show her honor. Look at the last phrase here that Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So if we don't treat our wives the way that they need to be treated, with compassion and understanding, and give them honor, Peter says that your prayers are hindered. It means God is not listening to you. God is not going to listen to you if you are not treating your wife the way that you should be. And so if we're not acting like godly men and wise husbands and treating our wives as precious and a fragile vessel of great value, then our prayers are hindered. So we need to be very careful as men and as husbands the way that we treat our wives. And Solomon certainly has a lot to say about that, as does Peter. Another thing that we are instructed to do in the Proverbs as men is to be humble. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 and 7. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. Do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. A couple of other verses where we make some comments about humility. Verse 27 of chapter 25. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. Proverbs 29, verse 25. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. And I've always found it interesting that Solomon is saying these things, because I know that he's one that receives great honor, because God richly blessed him with wisdom and with riches, and he probably received a lot of honor. But he's saying you don't seek that out. You know, it's sometimes said that some people's favorite sport is fishing for compliments. They're throwing out things and wanting somebody to respond, wanting somebody to soothe them or to give them praise. And sometimes we are guilty of those things. I know that when I was going to concerts with Ethan and Brendan, they'll point out something after the concert. Did you hear this part? Did you hear me play such and such a part? And I'm thinking, I really didn't hear that particular part because there's a lot of people playing at the same time. But they know what they did, and they're focusing in on what it is that they played. And I know that I did the same thing to my parents when I was in the band. But you know, a lot of the time what I was doing is, I want you to recognize what I did. I want you to compliment what I did. I'm fishing for a compliment. Many times we do that. But you know, Solomon is saying this is not the way that we should be as men, to always be looking for honor from someone else. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a great place among men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. When you walk into a room and you don't know where the head of the table is, a lot of times you have to figure that out if you're in an unfamiliar setting. And I think I told you before when I worked at EBSCO and it was my first day, I come into this big meeting room and there's tables all around the room. It's kind of in a rectangle, and so I don't know where the head of the table is, and so I did find it, and I sat down right there at it, and I was told, you know, by somebody else, this is where, you know, Lanny sits. This is, you know, these seats are all reserved, and so, you know, it's humiliating, and it wasn't on purpose. I wasn't trying to exalt myself, but not yet anyway, and I didn't know where I was going, and so they told me where it was that I needed to sit. And so that's exactly what Solomon is saying. If you know that you're going into the king's presence, you know, don't act like you belong there. It's better for you to stand back and the king saying, you come on up here with me, than for him to humiliate you. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of holy spirit gains lowly spirit gains honor. People seek after honor. And sometimes people speak in such a way that they want people to bask in their great knowledge or their experience, and we want people to be wowed by us. But you know, to bring praise upon yourself can end up being a humiliating thing. The basic point here, Solomon says, there's no honor when you're trying to get honor. There's no honor in seeking after honor. And people usually can tell that's what exactly that you are trying to do. And I know I talk about Facebook a lot, and it kind of shows that we spend a lot of time on it. But one of Drell and I's pet peeves is when somebody will post something in order to get an obvious grab for sympathy
or an obvious grab for compliments. And that happens quite a bit. And there are those that are always trying to heap glory upon themselves.
And generally people don't like being around those kind of people. Honor simply comes by living your life properly. You live your life properly, you'll receive honor, not because you sought it out, but because people recognize that you're trying to be godly. Also, Proverbs tells us that gray hair is a crown of glory. I know a lot of you are glad to hear that. Chapter 16, verse 31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Again, this is admonition that you live a life righteous for God, and God gives the glory. And the humility here also is, you know, part of the humility here is that you're willing to seek out counsel. That somebody that is gray hair, the idea is that there's wisdom in that gray hair. There's wisdom in that person that's older, and it can be sought out. Also, chapter 15, verse 22, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Chapter 11, verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's saying to seek out those who can help you. Seek out those who have wisdom. And you should seek out those who have a good reputation. We need to have the humility to take advice from other people. In all these Proverbs, we see that plans become a mess when you're not willing to listen to others. And children especially need to learn that, to seek your parents' counsel, and let them help you make life's decisions. Adults need to listen to other Christians who have life experiences. If a young couple is having problems in their marriage, seek out counsel from somebody that's been married 40, 50 years and see how they have managed to be together for so long. And if you get to talking to somebody that has that kind of experience, you find out that it may not have been smooth sailing for them throughout their life, and they can have some good advice for you. And too often, we don't seek out advice. Men need to seek out advice from others. They need to listen to the input of their wives. We're told to live with our wives in knowledge and understanding, and we need their input. And we also need to, in general, look for counsel from others. Another advice that Solomon has for his son in regard to being a man is to be honest. A man needs to have integrity and honesty at all times. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are His delight. My grandfather, for years, worked for Toledo Scales. If any of you are familiar with them, and they made the mechanical scales that you would find in businesses, whether it be a grocery store or some other kind of industry. And scales are important, aren't they? Because it tells you how much it is that you're to be charged. When you go into the grocery store and buy a pound of sliced ham, we don't usually give any thought to whether or not that scale is accurate. And we know that a lot of times those things are regulated by the government. Somebody comes in and calibrates it to make sure that it's right. But one of the famous Saturday Evening Post Norman Rockwell paintings on the cover had a woman on one side of a butcher counter and the butcher on the other side. And the woman has her finger under the scale trying to push it up so it weighs less. And you see the butcher on the other side putting his finger down on it because he's trying to make it weigh more. Both of them are being dishonest in that picture. That's what Psalm is saying here. You need to realize the Lord abhors dishonest scales because that was something that could be abused. If somebody pays for a pound of something, you give them a pound of something. If you get a pound of something, you need to pay for a pound of something. Accurate weights are His delight. Why would He say that? Well, it's because it's something that could be very, very commonly abused, and people need to be honest. You know,
I am very bad. I don't even know if Jarrell knows it. I'm very bad about leaving money in my pockets when I go to the dry cleaner. And I just make a joke out of it when I pick it up because they've always got a little plastic bag with the money in it. And I said, well, you passed the test again. I knew I'd left that money in there and y'all didn't take it. But if they were dishonest, I mean, that if I knew the money was in my pocket, I'm not going to leave it there. And so it would be a perfect opportunity for somebody that's dishonest to go ahead and take that out of there, because it's always exciting when I go there and found out that I had money in my pocket that I didn't know was there. But they're always honest, I think. You know, at least I'm getting my money back some of the time. But they have a reputation with me of giving me back what was in there. And that's a good thing. We should be that way. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 14, it's no good, says the buyer, and then often goes and boasts about his purchase. Isn't that interesting? What that means is somebody probably tried to get the price down with the seller, that this car's a piece of junk. I'm not going to pay that. Okay, well. And then he goes off and he brags to his friends, I really got him down on this price. I got a steal on that. So what it's saying, don't be dishonest. Verse 6 of chapter 28. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. It's a challenge for people in this day and age, maybe in many days and ages, for people to be honest. It's a challenge because people sometimes can get ahead through dishonest means. By selling somebody something that they really don't need, or by inflating the price because you know that they have the money and they can afford it, salesmen have a hard time in this area if they are not honest. Sometimes people are tempted to look the other way concerning some activity that's not right, because it may help them move up in a company or what have you. So it can be very tempting to be dishonest, because dishonesty sometimes will pay off in the short term, but not in the long term. In such decisions, to be dishonest is an abomination to the Lord, and that's what Solomon is saying. Men need to maintain integrity and honesty at all times. You know, there's a lot that can be said about our responsibilities as men, especially what we see in the book of Proverbs. But I just want to wrap it up with what we saw this morning and what we read. We have a responsibility to the home. You don't have the option to wander away and see if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You have a responsibility. You made a commitment to your wife and family. You need to carry that out in a godly way. Also, we saw that Solomon said, don't be a troubler of the house. The woman is not to be a troubler of the house either. But don't destroy what the woman has done by being a man who's not putting his family first. Also, we saw that Solomon said to put your wife on a pedestal. Treat her like a treasure. Treat her in an understanding way, with honor. And we're also to be humble. Pride is something that can destroy our lives. Pride is something that can cause us to make foolish decisions. Pride will cause us not to seek counsel and advice from others. Or when we receive that counsel, we ignore it. Listen to your family. Listen to your fellow Christians. Listen to your spouse. And finally, to be honest. There can be great temptation to lie and commit other immoral acts, to get a paycheck, get a promotion, what have you. But you need to maintain your integrity. I believe that we have a lot of men here that embody these characteristics, that try to live in a godly way as God has shown us. And we need to continue to do that. And we can always improve and we can encourage others to do the same. Let's be men and women of integrity and live in the way that God would consider to be wise. Maybe not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom that comes from above. If we can help in any way respond to the invitation. If you have not become a Christian, you're desirous of doing that. If you started that life and haven't been faithful, we'd invite you to come as we stand and sing.